Morning, everybody. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, you sing that song, "They wait, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." And, you know, we look at that, you look at wait, and you just exchange that word, which really means to serve. Means to serve. And it's quite interesting how many times that you can go into a thing, go into the day, go into whatever the case may be, and you go to serve, okay? And sometimes it's not anything that the Lord would have you do, and yet you get tired, you get weary, you get faint, you get all these things. Right? And then it's just coming back to that place where the Lord would have you be and saying, "Lord, all right, what is it that you would have me do?" And it's amazing the amount of strength you'll get. It's amazing how you'll fly over bad situations. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And time and time again, there it is for you to have. There it is for you to have. And a lot of times is what can happen with people is that they'll accept defeat. They'll accept weariness. They'll accept all these things, okay? And it's not a place where the Lord has called us to accept all those things. See, that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to accept the hopelessness. He wants you to accept the doubt. He wants you to accept there's no hope in this situation. That's what he wants you to do. See, we talked about last week about what must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus answered him, "Believe on him who he hath sent, which is Jesus." Which is Jesus. Now, I share a couple, you know, just this past week, for an example, there's been many testimonies of just that. I know one morning I woke up, we had like 155 tire day the day before. Did a lot of work, and I was giving all that I had. I mean, I was, you know, and I'm starting to realize that, you know, I'm not really getting younger. I mean, I'm starting to realize, like, when I'm done sometimes, like, my knee will hurt, and my hands will hurt, you know. And I woke up this one morning after this day, and I went to go grab the coffee cup, and I couldn't barely do it. My hand was so swollen, it hurt. And it was like my fingers were like sausages and all these. I was like, "Man, what is going on? What is going on here?" And I just started praying. I started lifting up to the Lord. I was asking the Lord to give me strength, asking from these things. And all of a sudden, it was like immediately, there it is. Is this like my handwork? So I able to pick up that coffee cup and get some coffee. And there it was. I mean, but it was a bit. I was down on my face before the Lord to have, begging the Lord to have mercy upon me and asking the Lord to give me the strength to do his will that day. And it was amazing. And I got up, and I don't even know if I drank that whole cup of coffee or whatever the case, but I mean, I went in, I was on fire, and we got, you know, got the work done that was there for me to do. But I share this with you is because it's a place that, you know, we read in Hebrews where it talks about the sin that so easily besets us. And also in Hebrews how Jesus strived against sin to the sweating of blood. Not my will be done, but yours. And how he was that perfect example. And it was by what he had done that we even have a chance. Because it's so easy for us to look at situations, to look at what's before us, to look about the overwhelming circumstance and see those giants in the land of Jericho or the Goliath, that big giant that is way bigger than you. Absolutely extraordinarily bigger than you, but he is not. And those giants in the land of Jericho was not too big for the Lord. And it's easy to look at that and buy into and accept doubt, accept unbelief, accept all these things. Lord's bigger than that. The Lord's bigger than all those things. And it's amazing, you know, as we've been, you know, and I was listening to the Wednesday night Bible study or service or whatever you call it. And, you know, as always, it's good. And as always, I suggest if you haven't listened to it, to go ahead and listen to it because it's really good. And, you know, that's not the only circumstance that I had. I've had many circumstances just this past week of a day going south. It was inventory day and a bunch of things happened. And it was that night that here we had Alexander, Tim, and I, and we're straightening out the inventory, which was an absolute nightmare. It was an absolute mess. It was flipped upside down. And here we are, you know, Alexander and I are doing the inventory. So is Tim. And we had a great time. And you can tell that just the Spirit of the Lord was just upon that. And it didn't matter how messed up that day went and how south that day went. The Lord turned that day, that situation that was upside down, right side up. Once again, it's an amazing thing. You know, and in the midst of these struggles that I've had, in the midst of these things, I could very much see things where I need to get repent of. Where I yet got myself entangled in things that are not profitable. Where the Lord has kind of shown me some things in my heart. And a better way about doing things. And some of the things that I just absolutely need to just repent of and say, all right, Lord, that is the wrong way to go. Lord, help me to go this way. And it was an amazing thing. I mean, it was this past weekend I was having this, you know, we had a great time with my family. And it didn't really start off that way. And I could have easily accepted not a great weekend. I could have easily accepted these things. I was getting overwhelmed. My head was in the clouds with certain things. And I was very much overwhelmed, bogged down, and I sat there and I looked at these things and I said, you know what? I just take authority over this. I take authority over this garbage and this nonsense. I rebuke you. You old man, I rebuke you, Satan. You're not going to take charge of my day here. You're not going to take charge of this day. You're not going to set the course of the weekend. You're not going to do this. I just rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. I cast down every high thing that exalts itself against you, Lord. And Lord, I am your servant. Lord, show me that which you would have me to do here. And I really had to get down on my knees, and it was amazing, the turnaround thing that happened. Boom. It was amazing. I think it was like, you know, it was Friday night in the midst of these things. And the last thing I really wanted to do, it was interesting. It all started with a Bible study. It started with that prayer. Then I went to go to Bible study with my girls. And I remember going and I remember really not wanting to do Bible study and that repenting of that and these kinds of things. But as soon as we opened to the Word, I mean, immediately the Spirit of the Lord fell. And it just set the course and the tone for the days and the past couple of days that I had. And it was a praise the Lord. It was a praise the Lord. But I share these things with you. And even my daughter yesterday, she was struggling with some things. She was struggling with a few bad attitudes in the midst. She wasn't catching fish and these kinds of things. And you can tell she's struggling. She gave up on fishing. She went in the car and she comes out and apologizes for her attitude. Now, I did have to stay and say, Ray, the first thing you need to get rid of is the attitude. You got to get rid of that bad attitude. And one of the things that she did was she came to me and turned around and said, Dad, I apologize for my bad attitude. And I said, you know, Raylan, I forgive you. All those things are washed away. The reason why they're washed away, Raylan, is because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. It's all because of what Jesus did. And she turned around and said, Dad, can I try this pole? She tried that pole. I don't think it was 5 minutes later she caught the biggest fish out of all of us at that time. I mean, so praise the Lord. But see, just in your everyday life, it's so easy to accept defeat. It's so easy to accept that unbelief. It's so easy to accept the situation around you when the Lord has not called you to accept those things. The Lord is a liberator. He has come to what? Set you free. He's come to set you free and not to be defeated by the enemy, not to be bound to this old man. He's given you a new one. He's given you a new life. He's given you a new life divine. That's what he's called you to walk in and to stand in. That's what he's called to walk in and stand in. But there's a lot of times what happens with us, it comes and it boils down to the battle being right between us, right in our minds. And a lot of times it comes down to just absolute honesty. Absolute honesty. I mean, a lot of times it does every time. Because what does it say? It says what? The truth will set you free. It says the truth will set you free. And it's getting down honest with yourself, getting down honest with the Lord, coming to recognize those things and repenting of those things. That means absolutely turning 180 degrees away from it. Repenting of those things. And yet you step out and you stand up in faith, believing that He has forgiven you of all those things. And you start believing on what He is able to do. And it's amazing when you do that, how that path before you becomes mighty clear. How the Lord just knocks down all those giants that was set before you. How the big Goliath that was right in front of you, it gets knocked right down. But see, He has given you the power to do that. See, He's given it to you to do. How many times do we read in Scripture about mortifying the flesh? Putting off the old man. All these things. And you see it countless of times after Paul's epistle after it. Countless times, time and time again, because it's so important. It's a choice that you make. See, that's the freedom that the Lord has given you. Is you don't have to bow your knee to the prince of this air anymore. You're not wrapped in the chains of bondage to this old man anymore. To the fleshly lust. To the deceivableness of this world. You're not locked into that. He's given you freedom from that. But are you going to accept it? Are you going to accept it? See, that's the choice that He's given you. See, before you knew Christ, you really were bound. All right, what does the Scripture say in John? It talks about in John, I think it's in chapter 3, where it talks about, I did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. And He talks about how the world is already condemned. Why? Because they have not believed on the only begotten Son of God. Already condemned. See, you were bound to this flesh. Your soul is bound to the flesh before you accepted Jesus Christ. Bound to it. But when you accepted Jesus Christ, look, He gave in you a new man, a new way. He's reconnected that spirit back again. So now that you can say no to that old man, you don't have to be bound to that thing. But see, that's a choice that you make, whether you are going to actually listen to that old man or not. And see, that's a personal choice each and one of us makes. You can very easily just let yourself be bound to it. You can make all kinds of excuses why not to believe the Lord. You can make all kinds of excuses not to walk in His way. You can make all kinds of justifications. But see, coming to the knowledge of that truth and that truth of setting you free is you come to that place where you knock down all those justifications. You knock down all those excuses. And you say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, I have been doing this of my own accord. It hasn't been anybody else's fault but mine, Lord. But mine. I mean, we read Psalm 51, and I love Psalm 51, where David writes and says, "Oh Lord, have mercy upon me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And he talks where he has sinned. He sinned before the Lord, and let no excuse be made that it was anybody else's fault. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned," says David. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." See, David understood. He made no excuse for his sin. He made no excuse for it. Absolutely none. Saul, on the other hand, he blamed the people. He blamed God. He blamed everyone around him. Everyone around him. And he did not take the accountability of what he has done. David, on the other hand, took all the accountability of what he has done. And what did David find? He found grace. He found mercy. And it's been a great example to each and every one of us. I don't know how many times I have looked at that scripture and seen it and done the same thing. And hit my knees before the Lord saying, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And what did the Lord do? Show mercy. Not did he only show mercy, but yet he redeemed those things that were before me. He redeemed those things that I have done. He redeemed all of it. See, I am a professional, an absolute professional at making a mess of situations. I see Linda had her hand raised up. I know not too long ago, Linda had made quite a big mess of a situation. And I had to go to Linda. I had to go to Linda. I had to talk to her about the truth of the situation. I mean, Linda convinced that she was right. After talking to her, Linda was convinced very much that how wrong she was. And she asked for mercy and forgiveness. And then did she not only ask for mercy and forgiveness, but she says, "All right, Lord, what do I do now? I made a mess of this thing. What do I do now?" And you know what? She was given what to do, and guess who she used? She used, messed up, screwed up Phil to give her that way out. And I gave her that way out, which really came from who? The Lord. So I gave her that way out, which I got from somebody else over me and the Lord. And it just went down, but it all came from where? The Father of lights, Jesus Christ, all right? And she did just that. And did she not just do that? She came to check with me on before she even, went to fully make this step. "Phil, let me get this straight, No, there's still some areas here. Do you see this? There's still yet not truth here. I see it, she says. And what happened was the Lord redeemed that mess. It was something that really, really could have been a thing that made a ripple effect and really been not good for the whole family. But what the Lord did in the midst of that, he actually put together something that is amazing. Above that we can ask or think what he did. And he brought and it used the thing that he redeemed that time and brought together people to help out her father in the midst of a situation, for a family to come together, probably the most united they've ever been before. Her dysfunctional family there. And let me tell you, I've heard some stories. It's quite dysfunctional, man. I remember talking about my dysfunctional family to Linda, come in the story, tell me stories. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty dysfunctional there, but hey. Praise God, the Lord's bigger than that. And as we see, the Lord is bigger than that. Amen? And yet, what did he do? He redeemed all those things. And he's bringing people together. And you can see the Lord moving in his spirit. And that love moving across the people. And her family there. And it's a great sign. They might not even be realizing it yet, but I believe that they will come to that realization, and it could be an opportunity for them to accept the Lord. So praise God. Hallelujah. See, that's how big and awesome our God is. And see, if we can just wrap our hands around Jesus, if we can get to understand that in Him is light and in Him there is no darkness at all, we can wrap our arms around that. What can stop you? Nothing. Nothing. But it does come down to that place of coming to the knowledge of the truth. I'm sorry, but if Linda didn't come to the knowledge of the truth and rejected all those things, all that opportunity that was there for the Lord to redeem all that would have been gone, would have been lost, would have been washed, would have not been able to happen. At least at that time. But it did happen. Praise God, but it took what? It took humility on her part. Absolute humility and the coming to the knowledge of truth about herself. Which is not fun sometimes, folks. Sometimes it's not fun. Man, I'm this bad. I mean, I knew I was a sinner, but man, I didn't know I was this bad and I didn't know I was going this direction. But see, that's where you get set free, because then you can actually see it and say, you know what? I don't want that anymore, Lord. That's ugly. I want to be a minister of your grace and show people your love and your gospel. And you get shed of that nonsense and you just cast it off. And what gets filled there is His love. His faith, His strength. And you get cast rid of all your own. That is just nothing but garbage and filthy rags. So praise be to God, I don't want any of it. So in that process of going through those things, it might not be, it's not like something that you're like, woo, I look forward to that thing. You know, sometimes it's like, oh man, I forgot to read the small print here, man. I don't know if I want to go cross through this thing. But on the other side of it, it is awesome. It is absolutely awesome. And some of those things that I've been through, I go, man, that was ugly. That was ugly, Lord. But praise be to God. Thank you for allowing me to see it. Thank you for allowing me, giving me the opportunity to get shed of it. And Lord, thank you for redeeming the time of it. Amen. See, it's amazing how He is. Absolutely amazing. It's like a double-edged sword. I mean, not only does He work out that which is a problem in your life, that is, you've been overtaken in a fault there, and he shows you in the way that you can get shed of it, to walk in Him and that new life divine. Not only does that, but most of the time, I would say pretty much all the time, He redeems the time and He gives opportunity for His gospel to be magnified so that other people can grab a hold of it. That's an amazing thing. I mean, it sometimes just appalls me how He's able to do that. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I sit back and I'm wondering, man, only our awesome God can do that. Amen. But see, look, folks, if you're not going to yet stand in that, if you're not yet going to humble yourself and come to the knowledge of the truth, and lay down those excuses, lay down those justifications, lay down all that garbage that wants to imprison you and set you in bondage. Look, man, you're never going to become free of those things. You're never going to become free of those things. And the biggest one that it hurts is you. The biggest one that it hurts is you. And you know what also it does? It relinquishes that opportunity for that gospel to be magnified yet in your life, but also for others. And I share this with you because it's very, very, very important that how that affects goes beyond just you. And we were talking about waiting upon the Lord. I know right now, this group, the fact that this chapel is here, right here, and that everybody's in this chapel right now, and that has gotten to know the Lord, has all been a fruit of one man's obedience. Now that starts with Jesus, amen, but then it was also came down to Davy's obedience unto the Lord. Lord told him to come down to South Carolina. That's exactly what he did. He met my stepfather, and then they carried out the gospel, went on, and then his son came down, Ricky Usler Jr. came down, and then the gospel got magnified. Ricky was willing to be obedient to the call that was before him, and the gospel got magnified, and people got a hold of that gospel. He met Linda, met Brad, met Lisa. Right? So you can see where the Lord has really redeemed the time. I mean, it's amazing to me. It's amazing as I look around. I just kind of see the stories popping up and just amazing redemption that comes around. I remember marrying Hope. I remember Kat not really liking the fact that I married Hope, her sister. Didn't like the fact that now all of a sudden she was took upon my name, okay, and that she was, that we had a family. All right, she didn't like that too much. But here Kat is, through all that, what the Lord redeemed is that Kat received the gospel. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. But it all comes down to just coming down to that knowledge of truth and not receiving all that nonsense that the world's given you. All that, and the biggest one thing is that old carnal mind. He wants to feed you doubt, unbelief. Another big hitter is the spirit of fear, and remembering it's a spirit. You cast that thing down. You don't listen to that thing, and you battle that spirit by the Holy Spirit, which is much bigger and badder than any other spirit out there. Praise God, that's the gift unto us to have, each, every single one of you. That's the gift that he's given you. Let's use it. Now I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And Paul here is talking about him and the other apostles, and I do want to clarify that up, but this is the things that we get to partake of. The reason why it was given unto them is why? So it can be given unto us. Praise God. If we will receive it. So look, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I might not be bold when I am present with you. But I beseech you that I might not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting it down imagination, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Look, I wanted to go here, and the reason why I wanted to highlight this is to recognize where the battle is at. Recognize not only where the battle is at, but how you fight that battle. Because That battle is not fought in the carnal. It's fought in the spirit. It's fought in that mind like I was talking about. You believe the Lord. Those imaginations that exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ, those things start right here. And I'm pointing to my head on the online. I mean, we can get worked up with some imaginations. We can get worked up with some doubt. We can get worked up with some unbelief. We can get worked up with some fear, can't we? We sure can. But all those things exalts itself against what? The knowledge of Christ. It all exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. So you cast all those things down by what? His Holy Spirit. You cast all those things down. And you bring every thought to the obedience of Him. And now you put your mind in subjection to Him. You cast off that old mind and you put on what? His mind. I think it talks about in Colossians or Philippians, I'm putting on the mind of Christ. And you put that on. And you don't accept any of the other nonsense and that garbage. The thing that carnal mind comes to what? It comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the enemy does. And the enemy uses the carnal mind, quite frankly. Because the carnal mind is what? It's at enmity with God. It's at enmity with the Lord. So that means it's enemy of God. It's cursed. It came from the ground. It's cursed. It's going back into the ground. But you don't have to be bound to it any longer. Your soul does not have to be bound to it any longer. And you go put on that mind of Christ. And that mind of Christ, what did the mind of Christ do? That mind of Christ believed the Father. It believed the Father. And not only did it believe the Father, it did that which only the Father told it to do, and it did that which said that which only the Father told it to speak. That's what it did. And we are obedient the same way, and we have that same opportunity. We have that same opportunity right here before us. And as I look, and I was looking this morning, and the testimonies I was talking about this morning are exactly that in operation. And they might seem like small things, but no, they're huge things. They're absolutely huge things. How the Lord takes some messed up situations that are flipped upside down and He flips them right side up. But it's a place where yet you stand in. Are you going to cower down to that giant like the rest of the children of Israel did? Which was Goliath that I'm talking about in particular here. Are you going to be like David, believing the Lord? And the thing that David stood up for, David did not stand up for himself. All right? It wasn't in vain glory for him to be glorified. No, he was standing up for the Lord God Almighty. Standing up for the armies of the living God. He was standing up for the name of the Lord. And everything he represents. And the Lord honored that mightily. And what people should have walked out in that is that they could yet stand. They could yet stand against the giants. That giant, just like David did. And it was never in David's own strength. It was never in David's own ability. It was never any of those things. As you could see, the sword that was given to David at that time was too, that Saul gave him, was too heavy for him to even pick up. The chainmail that was put on him was too heavy for him to wear. It was too big for him. But when he grabbed, all he needed was that sling. And when he grabbed that sling and he slung it, and that angel took that stone and thunk it inside his head till it sank in there, then he was operating in the strength of the Lord, because then he went and picked up Goliath's sword, which you know was bigger than the one that Saul gave him, and cut off his head. See, we need to step out of this old man and quit trying to operate in this old man and start stepping into that new man, that new life divine, to walk in his power, his strength, his might. And see, these are all opportunities for you to walk in. But first, for you to be able to walk into that, you got to put off that old chain mail. You got to put off all those old, that old garbage. You got to put off that old man. Everything that you have exalted to be so high and mighty about yourself, you got to put off. Because it's not. It's garbage. It's nonsense. And the liberty is that you get to walk in Him. And praise God for that. So I encourage each and every single one of you to start doing just that. And you can. And it starts with yourself and the Lord. Starts with yourself and the Lord. Getting on honest with yourself before the Lord. Recognizing the truth about yourself. And getting shed of the nonsense, the justifications, the excuses. Saying, Lord, just forgive me. I want that new life divine. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your faith. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your strength, Lord. Because I can't do it any other way. And I know you called me to stand in it. And you get up believing Him. And get up believing Him. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care how big it is. That is before you. I don't care how screwed up you are. He's bigger than all that. And the price that He paid on that cross covers all that. If you will just have it. If you will just have it. And the Lord's faith, you come to that place and say, Lord, show me those things that are coming before you, Lord. Show me those things that are not of you, Lord. Show me those things that I exalt in my heart that are over you, that is not of you, that are keeping me from walking in the fullness that you have for me. Lord, show me those things. And look, be prepared, because He's faithful and He's just, and He'll start showing you those things. And then what takes on your part? It's going to take humility. It's going to take humility, because it's so easy to walk away making excuses and justifications for all those things that starts to come up. It's so easy to do. But you cast off the excuses and your justifications, and you cast off the nonsense that's been holding you back. You cast all those things off as they begin to be revealed unto you. Now, I've seen a mighty work come amongst this people. I've seen a mighty work that the Lord has done in each and every one of our lives. Now, I've seen it in a way a lot of times where it was like the children of Israel, where the Lord just was showing up, the Lord was showing up, the Lord was showing up, and it was no faith on their part. It was no faith on their part. The Lord was just magnifying Himself and showing them that He is true. But the Lord, I'm telling you, has showed each and every single one of us that He is true, that He is real. Now it's not time for us to take on that promised land. To grab a hold of those promises, our God, that is for every believer. That time is now. But you got to cast off that unbelief. You got to cast off that unbelief. and you bring yourself into that obedience to Him. And how you bring yourself to that obedience to Him is that you got disciples in that line of authority. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. See, what makes you so, what do you think makes you so special that the Lord's going to reveal Himself just to you only and come down to you only? And the Lord reveals Himself to us all the time. You know how He does it? He does it through others. He does it through His Spirit in the midst of whatever the case may be, but He does do it. He's right there. He's right there. And a lot of times we're like going, "Where are you, Lord? Where are you, Lord? Where are you, Lord?" And the thing is that He hasn't moved one bit. He's right there. It's that we walked away from Him. We're going, "Oh man, I need to get back to the center right over here. Where are you at, Lord? Forgive me, Lord. I was out of the way. I wasn't in my position." It's like being in a football game and you're going, "Man, where's my blockers?" You know, you might be the quarterback, you know. "Where's my blockers? Where are all these things at?" And he's going, "You idiot, you're in the wide receiver position. You're supposed to be quarterback over here." "Oh, yeah, all right, there. That's why they're not there." It's because we're off. Not Him. But all things come down from the Father of lights. There is no variance. And He's not a respecter of persons. Any of you in this room can have it. Any one of you can have it. It's that, do you want it? See, that's what it comes down to. Do you want it? So we got 2 minutes left. I didn't think I'd be taking that much time. Well, anyways, praise the Lord. We're going to be done with Sunday service. I suggest you guys to think on these things that we've been discussing this morning. And praise the Lord.
Create in me a clean heart. Oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Not away from that.